Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Startup Capital. I'm Lucas Lindsay, the executive director of Domi Station, and your host today. We're here at City Hall with Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. Mayor Gillum has been a longstanding supporter of entrepreneurship here in Tallahassee, but most recently launching the Tallahassee Innovation Partnership, an amazing opportunity to connect large institutions to entrepreneurs looking for that initial client. We'll be talking more about that, about all things startup and innovation, and about Mayor Gillum's own experience as an entrepreneur here on episode 2 of Startup Capital. Stay tuned for more.
You have a slight advantage when you're from Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee.
We already have successes. We just have to continue to communicate the successes.
I love Tallahassee.
The old adage that the sum is greater than its parts, I think, could be more true for the city of Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee.
I wanted to be the change I wanted to see.
Obviously, we want to be the business capital of Florida.
I love Tallahassee.
I think millennials are really interested in business models that are both socially impactful as well as profitable.
I love Tallahassee.
I think, it takes government, private sector, and nonprofit sector, students like yourself, the startup community, all kind of pulling the rope in the same direction to get there.
I love Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee. It's the startup capital.
Thank you for being here today, this morning. It's awesome to do this with you. I wanted to, if you would indulge me, kind of start off by doing some time travel.
Okay.
You cool with that?
I'm about to. Yes, depends on where we're going.
Okay. Yeah. So, I want to kind of survey the landscape of entrepreneurship in Tallahassee, the city's the mayor's role in it, and ways that you've interacted personally with entrepreneurship in your past. But first, I kind of wanted to go back 2 weeks where we had the launch of the Innovation Partnership.
Yeah.
November 30th, Wednesday evening. Pretty amazing event. I think a cool milestone in our community's history. And there were some things you said that night. And I kind of want to set the scene for Wednesday night, sun's going down, rooms packed full of people, 100, 120 people showed up that night. After a long day of work, representing all the major organizations, institutions in our town, local government, higher education, school district, private industry, all came together because you invited them there. Invited them there to celebrate entrepreneurship, support startups, and support our city's entrepreneurs. And when you stood up that night, you said something that left an impression on me, and I kind of want to start there. And you said, Tallahassee, we have the opportunity not just to be the capital city in our state, but to be the innovation capital. And I'm wondering if, is that the vision? Is that, when you think of entrepreneurship, is that where you're headed?
Yeah, I mean, thank you for the reminder of those words. I mean them.
Yeah.
Tallahassee has obviously the reputation of being the capital city of Florida, which suggests a lot of state government, which we have here. And we don't want to rid our community of government, but we do want to complement what exists in the public sector with a really robust and thriving private sector. And to me, if we're not going to get the next Lockheed Martin to relocate, to Tallahassee, Florida, not foreclosing that idea, but the probability may be an issue, then how do we begin to create a culture that says, you can create from within?
Yeah.
Not only can you create from within, but you can also grow what you create from within.
Right.
And I think the key to that for a community like ours, a government, city, but also a city that has two institutions of higher education and also a world-class community college.
Yeah.
Young, brilliant, bright minds who travel here every year by the thousands to get their education at one of those institutions. And the pattern has been is once they get that degree, they're on the first thing driving or flying out of here.
Sure.
Because they don't necessarily conclude that Tallahassee is a place where they can start their lives
right. And
see their dreams fulfilled. A particular group that I would want to see think differently about this community are those innovative, bright minds who want to start businesses, who may not even begin with the idea of becoming an entrepreneur themselves, but begin with a thought, an idea, a widget, or app that they might want to create. And then from that genuine idea of creation, wanting to create and start something, that it takes off, that it takes life, and who knows what you might be growing right here in this very, you know, quaint community by way of the next major startup, the next major business that somebody either wants to come in and buy or that you then have the opportunity to scale up. I'm thinking of things like Google or WhatsApp or Twitter, right, or Uber, or right, you name it. I mean, those are the ones that we know. Those are the ideas
those
that took off.
We could start those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we only know those names because those are the ones that had flight. They right, had takeoff. But we've got the same opportunity, the same potential right here in our very own city. Should we be able to intoxicate the minds of these really brilliant folks,
yeah,
and keep them here?
So you think you hit on kind of potential there. So you think tapping into innovation is the way that we unlock that potential.
That's right. We tap into innovation and creation, ideas. But, you know, the role that the city plays in that, because I know, yeah, there's always a thriving debate around what is the role of government.
Sure.
I think part of our responsibility is to create the kind of environment that allows these individuals to choose Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. They say, this is the place that I want to stay. And what does that mean? That means creating the kind of quality of life, the kind of access to entertainment and excitement and a culture that says, man, this is a place that I could see myself settling down. Maybe one day getting married. Maybe one day starting a family. Maybe one day starting a business. That I don't have to be on the first thing out of here to Palo Alto or to right, San Francisco or someplace. That idea can take shape right here.
Yeah. So I feel, I mean, I'm surrounded by that all, yeah, the time. You know, these people that have chosen to stay here, chosen to build something here from Tallahassee. But I also think that that potential for that and doing that more in the future, it hasn't always been that way. We've built that up over the last few years.
That's right.
And also, you kind of, your story, your background represents that choice itself.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, so I want to go back,
way
time
back,
travel
way
a little
back,
further, right? We'll go back to early 2000s. You're a student, Florida A&M, mm-hmm, but you've invested the last 15 years or more in right, public service, invested in Tallahassee.
Right.
You're a leader from the beginning, student government, president, youngest elected city commissioner, age 23 in 2003. And you've seen a lot of growth and change over those last few years where we're starting to unlock that potential. What's it been like to watch that grow? What have you seen happen over this last, how did that get started?
Well, I'm telling you, if you would have asked me in 1998 when I came and stepped foot on the campus of Florida A&M,
yeah,
whether Tallahassee was going to be my forever home, I would have been like, you're delirious. That's not happening, not possible. Because what we see today on Gain Street or downtown or midtown or Cascades literally did not exist in the way that we experience it today. Gain Street, which was a place that I used to go out on Wednesday nights, college night, into these warehouses that didn't have AC, they were sweat boxes. And they charge you about $2 for entry, and you dance all night.
Yeah.
During the daytime, it was a deserted area, by and large. Old warehouses, contaminated sites all up and down that corridor.
Yeah. And now that's where we put the entrepreneurs.
That's exactly. We replaced the contamination with excitement and innovation. But we had to make a decision about that roadway, speaking about the role that government plays,
mm-hmm,
about what we think that area could be and could become. It's an important corridor in this city. And so we spent $20 million in taking a four-lane street down to a two-lane street. And boy, was that controversial.
Yeah, sure.
Right? I mean, for cars in a corridor meant to move people.
Yeah. You mean
now,
people are going to bike?
Absolutely, right. Are you thinking about get a bike and drive down that street? Well, it took a little bit of vision,
mm-hmm,
a little bit of foresight, and a little bit of sort of suspending with the criticism, or at least the impact that the criticism would have on us, for us to make some decisions in a very difficult moment that would have transformational impact.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. That $20 million has now spun over $600 million in private sector investment in that corridor.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have parts of this city. There was like North Side and South Side, and not a lot in between. There were no destination places, by and large.
Yeah.
And so we knew that if part of this community's future growth and development had to contemplate what it meant to actually have centers of attraction that people left their home on the North Side or on the South Side to travel to, get a meal, maybe see a show, experience some culture and art and creativity, and then go back home. Spend some money in those places and go back home. And that's exactly what we see today. And that probably began in earnest for us in about 2006. And now fast forward 10 years and you see the kind of evolution that's taking place in this community. And you know, we are just getting started. The potential is still so bright in so many parts of our community.
Right. So, and again, before all that happened, you're here at the onset of that. Over the last 15 years, are there things that you've done that you consider yourself entrepreneurial? Have you engaged in things that you think, you know, you look back and you're like, I was doing the same thing that these people in the warehouses are doing
now. Yeah. I kind of think of myself in the sense of like a social entrepreneur, if you will, right?
Sure.
That you, with the small ability that we have here, and largely I've learned as an elected official the ability to convene people around ideas, that even stuff that isn't in my purview to do. I didn't create Domi Station. We didn't create 10 million cups. I didn't create TEDx Tallahassee version, right? But we created an opportunity for that activity to be facilitated.
Set the stage.
That's exactly right.
Set the environment.
Lifted up the credibility of that space to be really important to the economic development future and the cultural future of the city. And so for me, it was just, you know what, maybe if you talk about it a little bit more, maybe include it in some speeches, maybe, you know, bring some people together by right of my ability as a mayor to convene people.
Yes.
Purchasers, you know, you reflected, we began this conversation about 2 or 3 weeks ago around what the introduction of the Tallahassee Innovation Partnership would mean for our community. Mm-hmm. And we got major stakeholders into one space, and that adds legitimacy, and it also gets them thinking in a way that they probably hadn't thought before. And then the only other thing that I would say that's happened just in between that time is the introduction of the idea of flipping the RFP process, which is a request for proposal process,
yes,
well known in government space, to have a request for ideas. That sometimes, you know, RFPs assume you know what you need. Sometimes
right.
you don't know what you need. And it is a matter of the community or someone with an idea saying, man, maybe this app that shows citizens when lights are out and when stop lights aren't working, or maybe there's a flooded area, that maybe an app that communicated that out to citizens would be of really good public use and public purpose, and there often might be a profit a component to it. We didn't know we necessarily needed that. It
right.
took a situation to create the opportunity for someone to think outside the
so
box and say, this is what we need.
So that's sort of a lead from the rear kind of
Absolutely.
Mentality or a service
Just
kind
flip
of leadership.
It.
So you're comfortable with government saying, hey, we don't have all the answers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
in fact,
know.
We have to admit that we don't have the monopoly on the right answers. And we certainly don't have the monopoly on all answers. That it is a two-way street. And the complication we have with the way in which bureaucracies work today is that it's almost us telling the citizens what it is that we
sure.
need. And then you respond precisely and in good order to what we have asked you to do. And that eliminates the opportunity for you to think out of the box, for you to create, for you to innovate on your own. As I said, you know, actually, we might not know what we need. You tell us, based off your experience in this community, what you think might be more helpful to you as a citizen, as a consumer, as a contributor. And then let us reckon with whether or not that's something that we think can be of use to the government and that can be scaled up. It's a completely different way of looking at problem solving.
Yeah, so I mean, the entrepreneurs that I know, they're obsessed with solving a problem.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
They're trying to find a solution to a specific problem. They're driven by that problem.
Yeah.
I noticed, you know, there's things that you've started, that you've championed in your career, even outside of politics. You know, for example, you're with the young elected officials.
Yeah.
Network, which is this amazing nationwide network of young elected officials that you had the central role in building as you built your career over the last few years. And to me, when I reflected on that and, you know, kind of looking at your background, it seemed like that is an entrepreneurial effort, right? And I'm wondering, what problem did you see when you were trying to solve that, and how did you get that started?
Yeah.
Because that's interesting too, outside of just policy.
I appreciate you bringing that up. I guess that fits with this whole the whole social and also policy,
sure.
you know, kind of thing that kind of exists sediment in me some days. The problem I was solving was I was 23 years old. I went to my first conference for elected officials, and everyone there were decades older than me. And I remember going into the room to sit at the the square table where all the electeds would sit and have their discussions, and I sat down and someone mistook me for the help. When I clarified that I was an elected official too, you know, then the, you know, kind of, you know, well, I'm sorry, and then the jokes ensued. Man, I've got shoes and socks older than you. And the first time you hear it's like, okay, it's kind of funny, and then you really want to say, get new shoes and socks, you still got them that old. But moreover, aside from the weirdness of the environment, as I went to the workshops and started listening for those little sparks of inspiration that might get my policy mind jogging around what I could do to improve my community, it felt very stale. And it didn't feed my appetite. And I made the decision I didn't really want to go back to these conferences. And so as I encountered some other young people on the circuit, we were all reflecting
people
the same
had the
experience.
Same problem. Same way. Right.
And so we got them together. A couple of us convened by my invitation in Atlanta. There's a state representative from Georgia who she and I appeared in a national publication as like these young whatever that I reached out to. I was like, hey, they put us in the same magazine. Let's meet. Also in attendance were, these were names you know today, Joaquin Castro, who is now a member of Congress from Texas. His brother, his twin brother, Julian Castro, who is now the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development for the United States. Another woman, a colleague, Kyrsten Sinema, who's a member of Congress today, and about two or three others that assembled and we said, let's see what we can do around creating a space, a safe space for us where we can get policy access, meet each other, and then support each other with personal and professional development training. That was, you know, 12 years ago, and it began with eight of us around a table, and then it grew to a conference of 64 of us, and now today it's a network of over 1,036 members all around the country, all 50 states, all over the office.
Was there ever a time throughout that process where you thought, this isn't going to happen? This
oh, yeah.
Roadblock, challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should go a different direction on this.
The first invitations where we made the outreach, and everybody who I invited didn't show up. One of the people I invited was Gabby Giffords, who didn't show up for that first meeting. We later met later, and she took interest in the network. And then, of course, the moment where we needed to put some money up to reserve the National Press Club for our first meeting. And I didn't think we'd be able to raise the money. We raised the money, and I thought, what if nobody shows up?
Yeah.
And so there are all these points, absolutely, where you go, I'm not real sure that we're doing this the right way, but you do it anyway because you think the idea is resonant enough and that people will attract to it, and it worked out.
Yeah, and it continues.
And it continues today.
And so I think it's interesting that you've had that experience, and you've gone out and you've had to sell something.
Yeah.
You had to create value, get other people's buy-in. It's the same thing that entrepreneurs are doing down in the warehouses,
it's
right?
True.
So I feel like, you know, perhaps you identify with that in some way.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, you bring that mindset into local government then.
Yeah.
You know, you're mayor of Tallahassee now. What is the role then for good, sound policy in local government to set the environment, set the stage, like you discussed?
Yeah.
Understanding
yeah.
the kinds of challenges that you've even faced firsthand trying to get something started.
Yeah. So. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, we've got our job ought to be to make the way easier for folks in the entrepreneurial community to be able to do what it is they need to do to survive and to thrive and to grow, mm-hmm. but most importantly for me, to make sure that they do those things in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And
stay here.
And stay here. And frankly, pull money from other parts of the country and the world and spend it here.
Hey, wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, yeah. And we play, you know, as I said, you know, a particular role as government, right? And some folks want to debate the merits of what role we, you know, government doesn't create jobs. Well, maybe not directly, but we create the environment for jobs to exist mm-hmm. and to grow, and that climate matters if you're in the startup or entrepreneurial community. It matters whether or not you can make your way through permitting on the little money that you have for a startup before
yeah.
you go bust, right? And we don't want you to go bust in that process.
Right, and the other thing I think that the work you have been doing seems to be facilitating relationships.
Oh, completely.
Which is hard for an entrepreneur starting out to get access to the right people.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Innovation Partnership.
Yeah.
And the impetus for that.
Yeah.
What we were at 2 weeks ago. Where
yeah.
do you think that's headed into the future?
Well, I'll tell you where it began, which is, what is the front door into how you get to a lot of these big purchasing power entities? So in Tallahassee, we don't have a huge venture capital, network, right? That's something we've got to continue to grow. But what we do have, and I try to always look at problem solving from the asset standpoint first, like what do we have then? And what we do have are huge purchasing powers in this community, the state of Florida, city of Tallahassee, Leon County, the school board, the sheriff's office, the police department, our universities, right? Major purchasing power. We don't necessarily think of that automatically as venture capital because it's not, doesn't meet the truest definition of that.
Well, it's sometimes it's risk averse.
It
right?
is completely so, risk averse. So you've got to change attitudes and habits and all that other stuff. And you know, the way we thought about it is, what if we can create the environment where you got these idea generators and problem solvers sitting side by side with folks who have the ability and almost always have a need that they got to fill. And if you can match up, you know, the best way that you can or synchronize the best way you can, where the opportunity moments might be. So maybe you've got something that you've developed and might be selling and frankly, I need it, but didn't know you were the person who could provide it for me. And maybe there were some slight alterations you would need to make on your end in order for you to be the perfect fit for me. And instead of me going out and trying to find where in America or around the world I might find a supplier to meet that need, how about we first look here? And because it's a early relationship that I can help define and shape a little bit what you're providing so that it more perfectly meets my need. And then you get the opportunity, if this relationship works, to go out and say, the city of Tallahassee is my client. Leon County is my client. The state of Florida is my client. What does that give you by way of social capital when you go out and you look for your next client to be able to say
you've
got
that
kind of entity?
Right on my website.
That's exactly right.
And it seems like, you know, entrepreneurs are always, they're asking me, asking other people for warm introductions.
Yes.
And based on what happened 2 weeks ago, I would say that warm introduction from the mayor is the ultimate introduction because you packed that room full of people. And I think that made a big statement setting the stage for the future. The other things, you know, inputs, like you said, venture capital, your first client, workforce, and talent, and having the right people that can be hired.
That's right.
You know, the paper headline today talks about how projecting into 2030, you know, our community is going to have to be able to create 120 jobs a month or something, you know, to that effect, just to meet that demand
for
the future. But the types of skills those people need, that's changing rapidly in real time. It's getting more technical, sometimes a little more advanced with certain training certifications required. How can the city play a role in that?
Yeah.
How can we create the workforce? And maybe I understand we have higher education and they do what they do.
Yeah.
But what's the role of the city in that space?
Yeah, you mentioned higher education. The truth is that the demands are such that you've got to be so much more nimble and flexible to the changing environment. The certification you may work 4 years to get into college is obsolete by the time you get out with that degree, right? And so the need to have these really responsive kinds of training and certifications that are able to take a person in 6 to 8 months to make them ready to walk into the job that exists today. Our designation that we received from the federal government for the Tech Hire program, where we were one of 50 cities in America designated, one of two in the state of Florida, us in Miami, that is looking at what are the kinds of skills that we need in order to train the next generation workforce. And frankly, it's not even the next generation workforce. It's to train a workforce for the jobs that exist today.
That are already sitting,
out there cold because the talent that is necessary, the skills that are necessary, aren't exhibited right now in the workforce in our community. And so we've been partnering with our higher educational institutions and saying, how flexible can you be with creating the kind of curriculum and the training that we need to train these folks and to repurpose, frankly, some of the existing workforce to walk into the jobs that exist today? It is unacceptable for a job to sit vacant in this community for 6 to 8 months, largely because they can't find the folks with the skills that are equipped to walk into those jobs. We want to take advantage of that, and that's what Tech Hire is about.
Are the partners at the table engaged on that? Do you feel that we are
completely
we're making the moves we need to make?
I think that what we have is their attention and their willingness to partner with us. Now, the truth is that when you're totally shifting the way an organization thinks about supplying
innovation.
The workforce, innovating, disrupting, you run into some headwinds. And I think we're sort of breaking through those in some ways to say, you know what? you're a great institution, and the certification that you have is great. It just takes too long.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you could just change this little nuance or change that, you might make that graduate, that certification seeker, that much more qualified and ready to walk into the workforce that's available and open to them today.
I mean, and if we can do that, it seems that will take us forward as that innovation capital. We could be an example.
That's exactly
right.
Like
you said, one of only two in the state.
That's right.
And, you know, that brings me to something that, you know, people that I'm surrounded by all the time talk a lot about, and that's statewide.
Yeah.
I think that Florida, you know, I was looking at numbers last night, and in the third quarter of 2016, the District of Columbia, one small city, had just nearly as much venture capital investment as the entire state of Florida in that one quarter. And so, third largest state, tons of higher education, lots of talent, lots of wealth in this state.
That's right.
But seems to be lagging and underperforming statewide venture capital activity, startup creation.
Yeah.
What do you think at a state level, should be going on to support?
Well, I tell you, we have got to grow beyond our comfort zone, and we're experiencing this here in Tallahassee, right? The comfort zone of being ag and tourism only, right?
Yeah.
This state is far too big, far too diverse, such a wealth of talent that exists in every corridor of the state of Florida. And we've got to turn our attention to what's around the bend economically for this state. What's not in the straightaway, but when you got to make the turn, what opportunities exist there? What exists in this state by way of, just take for instance, if we were to take more seriously the global climate change challenges that exist in the state of Florida. You've got roads in Miami Beach that are being flooded on a non-rain day. What kind of innovation needs to be happening there to build a more resilient Florida?
Right.
And what kind of jobs can that spur and create for that part of our state?
Yeah.
Or take the energy challenge that we have in this state. We're the Sunshine State, right? What happens if we were to harness the economic development opportunity that exists on basically being the idea generator, the research generator, the photovoltaic epicenter of this country, because we harness and the energy that this state has naturally and contribute back to the grid system. A grid system, by the way, that's largely weak in the southeastern United States. Those aren't jobs that can be exported. If you need to put a solar panel on a roof, you need a person right here on that house, on that roof, going up and putting it on. There's such a wealth of potential economic development in this if we were to face our natural challenges.
Well, sure, and maybe that gets us to our 120 we need to meet every month.
That's
if we
exactly
start to
right.
invest in those industries. It
That's
seems
exactly
like
right.
Florida is at a place where, even like 10 years ago, Tallahassee trying to unlock that potential.
That's right.
Right? And now it's starting to take off.
That's exactly
it
right.
It seems that Florida's in a place like that.
We are completely in a place like that. And I know that we lull ourselves into comfort when we say, oh, we're creating 100,000 jobs this year. Well, what type of jobs? And are those jobs sustainable? Or will artificial intelligence come in to disrupt that in the near future? And then what happens to those people?
Yeah.
The same tension that exists in the Rust Belt in this country will be the same tension we experience here in the state of Florida unless we get our act together and decide that we want to look around the bend and start to plan for what Florida's future economy ought to look like. And I think the natural challenges that are confronting the state, largely environmental and agricultural, the challenges that this state is facing might be the gateway into what our future economy looks like, the solutions that are being thought about and should be being thought about to address those challenges might be the very key to what our economic future in the state looks like.
And if we keep investing locally, maybe some of our local entrepreneurs will be the ones.
Play a role there. That's exactly right.
To lead. Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Thus the innovation capital of the state of Florida.
Exactly. The startup capital.
That's right.
If you will. So, I kind of just want to end it on a lighter note, but is there, over the last 10, 15 years in your time, government, are there startup ideas? Do you got a $1 billion idea sitting in your pocket that you've seen? You know, if you could, start a business,
I'd have to patent it first.
I could sign an NDA. I mean, is there things that you've seen over your time that you're,
you know,
are certain
I
industries,
would,
certain spaces that you think are ripe for?
Yeah, I do, and I would say, now because I'm in government, we get to see this community in a variety of ways. And one of the ways that I'm most challenged by is how it is that we get our hands into solving some of our larger social problems. Everything from crime to poverty to our making our kids ready, kindergarten ready, when they get through the zero to five, early education process in our community and in our state. And there, in my opinion, lies the opportunity. There's so much innovation to happen there. We don't naturally think about these things as solvable. We think of them as stubborn issues that will continue to persist over the arc of generations.
Sure.
And while that challenge will exist, could we be doing it better? If we looked over the last 10 years of investment in the human services space, you probably come up with about $45 million of investment there. Yet, we have not addressed in any real sustainable fashion the poverty rate in this community. We're still struggling with how it is that we move people from hopelessness and homelessness into sustainability and self-sustainability. We are addressing problems in parts of this community that are intergenerational in nature. That could some innovation help disrupt that in such a way that these investments that we're making there truly are investments and not just putting money into a black hole? That it starts to, investments pay off, right?
Yeah.
That you start to see it pay off in such a way that you move the market, you move these numbers.
And this thing, these types of issues just proves that this is the social entrepreneur in you, right? These are the types of things.
Maybe.
Keep you up.
you have to figure out a way to help me figure out how to monetize this. And
well, hopefully we can get through continued investments in this community a group of people from Tallahassee to lead the way.
That's right.
Like we've said. So
totally agree.
I appreciate your time today. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it.
And
onward and upward.
Absolutely. Startup capital, Tallahassee, Florida. We're on the way.
That's right.
Thanks.
This has been a recording brought to you by Cuddlesoft, the idea-driven developers. For more on Tallahassee's startup community, the business of technology, and the latest in software development, visit www.cuddlesoft.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time for the next edition of the Startup Capital Podcast.